Let me hear the passage. Ephesians, I think it's chapter 4 and verse 16.
From whom the whole body fitly joined together.
The body here is the church. The whole body fitly
joined together.
Joined together. Read.
And compacted. By that which every joint supplieth.
That's the phrase I had in mind to speak to you about tonight. Every joint does what?
Fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies.
You know what is the every joint? Every child of God. And as both Brother Webb and Brother Gilbert was encouraging the Christian, do what Jesus Christ has placed in your hand in your responsibility. Help to widen the borders of his kingdom. Each of us have work. Here the Bible talks about that which
every joint supplies.
Every joint. You know what that is? Every child of God is a joint. And when you fail, in fact, I'll be having a lesson on this within the next 2 or 3 weeks, at any rate before our gospel meeting. Just that verse, every joint. When you are a joint, not supplying what God expects you to supply, the whole body feels it. But as I said, that will come up. Watch night. Is tonight watch night? Do you know why the whole business of watch night is so important and significant? It's about time. Watch night is about time. Watch night, in effect, is telling us time is moving. Watch night is telling us that certain time has passed or is passing, and other time is coming. In less than 35 minutes, we will be in 2018. All of that has to do with time. And tonight, I want to spend the next 25 or so minutes speaking to you on the subject, the problem of time. And somebody said, Brother Mitchell, I didn't know that time is a problem. In many cases, it is. The problems of time. Time has been a problem for man because we have only a limited amount of time. That's one of the reasons it is a problem. We do not have all the time in the world for anything. And time has always been a problem for man because we have limited amount. The scarcity and the uncertainty of this precious and, should I call it, not only precious but irreplaceable commodity. Yes, time is limited. Time is precious. Time is irreplaceable because of that. We place great and grave responsibility upon God's people to use time wisely. What did you say, Brother Mitchell? Because time is irreplaceable because it is so precious. And because we have only a limited amount of time, this places great responsibility upon the children of God in respect to how we use time. Look at these two passages. And they are dealing with how we use time. Romans chapter 13 is one. Verse 11 and 12. Let us hear it.
Knowing the time.
I want you all to listen to this. The great witness of Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul, is talking. And he said, knowing the time.
That now it is high time
to awake. Now it is high time
to awake out of sleep.
But somebody said this, and they said, is Paul drunk? Me not asleep. Now, he's using what we would call a metaphor here. You see, in fact, let the brother read a little further. He said, it is high time. That is, it's like a person who should wake up at 7 o'clock and 10 o'clock, the person jump up and say, he's still asleep. You know? Paul said, it is high time
to awake out of sleep.
To awake out of sleep. Somebody said, Mr. Mitchell, what is he talking about? I'll soon tell you. Read on.
For now is our salvation nearer.
Now is our salvation nearer than when we first began. May I? When you became a Christian 12 months ago, that's right, 12 months ago, if you became a Christian, 12 months ago. Now, 12 months after, your ultimate salvation is closer than when you became a Christian 12 months ago.
That's right.
Mr. Mitchell, still interpret that for me. Thank you for asking me. It means that you are closer to either death or judgment to receive your ultimate salvation. But conversely, it also means that for the ungodly, the punishment of the ungodly is closer. Every day we live, we are closer to the ultimate judgment. Read on.
For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed.
Read on.
The night is far spent.
The night is far spent. Wait. You know what that is saying? As I said, it's a metaphor. It's a figure of speech. It's like, You stay in bed too late. When he said the night is far spent, the night has passed, far gone. At day now, you must get up. You know what Paul is saying when he said the night is far spent? Read the other.
The night is far spent, the day is at hand.
The day he said, you remain an ungodly person for too long. That's exactly what that is saying.
Let us therefore.
Take time with me, brother. I'm very slow. That's right. The night is far spent. You sleep at night. Nowadays, when you are to get up, you stay in sin far too long. God is saying that it's time to repent and turn to Jesus Christ. That's exactly what Paul is doing. He's speaking in figures of speech to the ungodly men and women who feel that they have all the time in the world. He's telling you, no, time is passing on you. God has not given us all the time in the world. The night is far spent. Read a little more, brother.
Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness.
The works of darkness is finite. But what he's saying, you're still asleep like it is night. He said, watch here, the sun came up long time. Still on the point that some stay in sin too long. The Almighty God has given you all the chance to repent after you believe and confess Christ's name and get baptized with a resolution to living for God. You know why? Everybody is going to eternity. Yes, the Almighty God in his greatness and graciousness create us with eternity in mind. That's one of the reasons you are superior to the cow and the goat and the pig and the... That's right. When they're dead, they are dead forever. No resurrection, no dopey. Well, dopey no come from man either. Don't let anybody out there. There's no such thing as dopey. I'm not charging you for this. I'm giving you this as brought. There is one resurrection. And that is when Jesus Christ come back. What? Don't let anybody tell you about third day, something come from the grave. Foolishness. I grew up in that in the country. One resurrection, and that is when Jesus Christ come back. Every man that has ever died will come back. So there is no such thing as ghost. In case you misunderstand me. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, not only this passage telling us that some remain in sin too long. When he said that the night is far spent, that means it's far gone, it's daytime. You see, get up out of sin, turn to God, because you are going to stand before God one day. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. No exception. Every man will die. Another passage is Luke chapter 12, 16 through 20. Quick, brother. Luke chapter 12, 16 through 20. Let us hear it. Jesus Christ, that is, spake a parable.
Unto them saying. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful.
That is the plantation, the field, the cultivation of a particular man brought forth plentifully. Read.
And he thought within himself, saying.
The man thought within himself, saying.
What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits.
My cultivation has produced so much that the storehouses that I have is not adequate to accommodate all the grain and all the food that I need to have stored away. He said, what am I going to do? He has a plan. Read.
And he said.
He said.
This will I do. I will pull down my barns.
I'm going to tear down my barn.
And build greater
storehouses.
And there will I bestow all my fruits.
I'm going to stock up my goods.
And my goods.
Uh-huh.
And I will say to my soul.
Watch here now. I will say to my soul.
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 Thou hast much goods laid up
for
many years.
Thou hast much goods laid up for many years.
Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry.
May I? The soul is never satisfied with goods. So it was a mockery Jesus Christ was making of this rich man. Learn that. Our God-like part, our spirit, or our soul is satisfied only when God occupies the rightful part in our lives. Money, land, house, big bank account never satisfy this God-like part. Only Jesus Christ himself satisfies this part. That is brata. Now let me move on. You have much goods laid up for you for many years. Take thine ease and be merry. Read on.
But God said unto him.
Stop there a while. Somebody said, I thought Mr. Mitchell was speaking on time. That's exactly. Because what I'm about to show you here, and get this right, here is a man that had some great plan. How he was going to enjoy the labor of his hand. But you know what? Time was taken from him. He never lived to enjoy it. The Almighty God said,
Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee.
Mm-hmm.
Then whose shall those things be?
Everybody, you get that, brothers and sisters? We do not have all the time in the world. That's one. Two, a lot of times we make plans, but we were never permitted by God to complete those plans because time was taken from us. Are we there? We all have seen unfinished houses. Not because money was short to finish that house, but the person who started it died. Are we there? There have been many business, incomplete business transactions, because the person who started that transaction and was looking forward for tomorrow or next week to complete it, time was taken from that person. Are we there? Nowadays, financial institution, when you borrow from them, they take out insurance on you. Or on the amount you borrow. You borrow a million, they will insure that million. You know what? They know that time may not allow you to pay back that loan. We're dealing with time. That it is a scarce and it is an uncertain commodity. We do not have all the time in the world. Life is something we live minutely, hourly, daily. Somebody said, Brother Mitchell, repeat that. Life is something we live minutely, hourly, daily. Therefore, our frailty and mortality is an hourly and a daily problem. Because we live by the minute, by the hour, by the day. Considering that as human being, the healthiest of us, we are frail. And you know what? Not only are we frail, we are mortal. We die. And that makes daily living, hourly living, a problem. Our days are few and are challenged with problems. That's right. Job said it. That the time we spend here is relatively short. And that short time given to us is usually full of problems. Listen, Job, in the book of Job, chapter 14 and verse 1 and 2. Let us hear it. Job 14.
Man that is born of a woman.
Man that is born of a woman.
Is a few days.
Is a few days.
And full of trouble.
And full of. May I? It's only the little experience children don't understand that life is packed with challenges. Brother Myra brought to, in fact, just like we're thinking alike, to our attention when he sung one of those songs, that we have gone through many times and sneer, and it is God who have brought us this far. Because the same thought here, the same thing was running through my mind. Thanks be to God, he has brought us to this point. But we have gone through challenges, and we'll be going through many more challenges. But the man, the woman who trusts and depends on God, God will give you the way with all. Job said it, that our days are few, and it is full of trials. Are we there? We have the problem and the challenge of learning. Are really dealing with my frailty and my mortality. We have the challenge. As we go through life, we have to deal with the fact that we are frail. When you hear how some people die, we have been told of the tragedy that happened in the state where the place was on fire and the fire truck and firemen went, and this is within the past 24, 48 hours. When they went to turn on water to, you know, the place was so cold that the water in the hydrant was frozen. Nobody was expecting that. There are thousands of things that you and I don't think about that can take us to eternity. We are afraid, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, the problem and the challenge that we have in dealing not only with our frailty but our mortality, the fact that not only do we get sick and negative bad things happen, but we also die. And many times we die before we want to, before we achieve or complete some of the goals we have. I know this, and yet I don't know it. Is the preacher head running? No. I said I know it, and yet I don't know it. What do I know? I know that I am frail. I know I'm going to die. But you know what? I don't know when. Neither do you, and you do not know how. These are some of the challenges of time. I don't know when time will end for me. And I do not know how it will end. None of us know. I know life is short. I just don't know how long or how short mine is. That's a problem. Are we all there? I therefore need to take the matter to the Almighty God, like the psalmist in chapter 90 and verse 12 and 39 and verse 4. But I want chapter 90 first. Psalms 90, 12, and then 39, 4.
Teach us to number our days.
Teach us to number our days.
That we may apply our hearts unto wisdom.
Everybody hear that? Mr. Mitchell, you mean this great man David didn't know how to count? No, it has nothing to do with counting. One translator translate that, teach us to order or use our days wisely. You all got it? It's not so much to count. It's rather to put my life and the time that I live in an orderly, godly way. David begged God for that. And as I've said, I know that life is short. I just don't know how short or how long mine is. And it is for that reason I need God's help to teach me and help me to use my time wisely. Teach me to order and to use my days wisely. Look at 39:4.
Lord, make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am.
You notice that for these great men, time was a problem. Let me know, my God, when the time comes for you to call me home to eternity, help me to see some, help me to know something. It could be that when I'm sick and probably feel I'm going, help me, my God. He wants to use his time here wisely. Read it again, brother.
Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am.
You see, brothers and sisters, there's another passage in Ephesians chapter 4, 5 and verse 16, which says, redeem the time, for the days are evil. One of the brothers who spoke just now point out about the amount of murder, death. I believe it was Brother Webb who talked about murder, and if we don't know who inside here is a murderer. We don't. But may I? Whatever our evil intent, always remember that God may not give you the time to carry out that evil intent. That's why men and women need to repent. Run with me, brother. Run, literally run, because time is gone. Acts chapter 12, 1 through 4. Quick.
Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church.
Yes, here is a King Herod. Put forth his hand to vex certain of the church. He didn't like the church. Just like today, many people don't like the church. They don't like the Bible. They don't like Christianity. You know? They don't realize you need the church. You need the Bible. You need Christianity more than you need anything else. Read on.
And he killed James.
You hear that? He killed one of God's faithful servants. That's right. Kill him. James did nothing that deserved that. Read on.
He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded
because
further.
Because the Jews liked that. Because the Jews didn't like the Christian. When he saw that the Jews liked that, he put forth his hand to
take Peter also.
He might plan to kill Peter too. Read on quick, brother.
Then were the days of the unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison.
He apprehended Peter. He killed one person for no reason. Just simply because the man was a child of God, a Christian. Then he went now and arrest another Christian, Peter. Among the chief apostles, Peter stood there. And he put Peter in prison.
And delivered him to the four quarterns of soldiers to keep him.
Step down to verse 7.
And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, And he smote Peter on the side.
That's right.
And raised him up, saying,
uh-huh.
Arise up quickly.
It seems that Peter was sleeping, so the angel going to prison. Who opened the door of the prison for the angel? They don't need any door open. That's right. That's right. And it touched Peter and said, wake him up. Read.
Arise up quickly.
Arise.
And his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals.
Mm-hmm.
And so he did.
Mm-hmm.
And he saith unto him, cast thy garments about thee and follow me.
Yeah, put on your clothes and follow me. The Almighty God. Remember, the brothers who spoke, well, the both of them were encouraging you when the Almighty God promised that he will be with you. He will be with you. And when you are undertaking things that are right, the Almighty God will be with you. You know, again, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthened me. You know, here is Peter in prison, not expecting anything like this. God provided a miracle to take him out of prison because the wicked king was planning to kill him. You read verse 7, brother?
Yes.
Step down to verse 19.
19. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not.
You see, Herod was searching for Peter. For what purpose? To kill Peter. Don't think we are strayed from the element of time. We are coming right. That's where we are. Read.
And found him not.
Okay, step down now to 21 through 23.
And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel,
mm-hmm.
sat upon his throne mm-hmm. and made an oration unto them.
Mm-hmm.
And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a God
mm-hmm.
and not a man.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him
mm-hmm.
because he gave not God the glory.
Mm-hmm.
And he was eaten of worms.
Everybody heard that? That's the King Herod. Kill. Didn't have the time to carry out his evil deeds. He died in a terrible way. Worm eat up the king. Time. Didn't have the time. God took away the time from him. So we have to be careful when we have evil intent. God may not give us the time to carry out those evil intents. And last but not least, we also have the daily problem of protecting our bodies and caring for my health so that my days upon this earth might be extended. I wish I could give you a chance to ask question on this, but let me just wrap up. Look at Psalms 90 and verse 10. Psalms 90 and verse 10. In a few minutes, we are going to close. We'll be asking Brother Myrie to come and sing for us a lively psalm. Psalms 90 and verse 10. Remember what I said, that dealing with the problem of time, we also have the daily problem of protecting our bodies and caring for our health so that my days might be extended on this earth. I'll soon explain that. Let us hear the passage.
The days of our years are 70 years and 10.
And the Almighty God revealed to the Psalms is that God intend for us to live 70 years and 10. That's 70 years. 70 and 10. 20. That's the time God gives man. But listen to the passage.
And if by reason of strength.
If by reason of strength.
They be 80 years.
We live to be 80.
Yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow.
Uh-huh. There will be sorrow and challenges.
For it is soon cut off and we fly
away.
We're
still going to die. We are still martyrs. But here is my point with this passage. I want to correct this. We hear out there, people will say, if God give you 50 years to live, when that 50 years come, you die. May I? Ladies and gentlemen, learn this. In most aspects of our lives, the Almighty God placed some of the responsibility on us. Get this. The Almighty God doesn't have it necessarily that he gives you 20 years and he give me 30 and he give the other man 80 and he give the other one. No, not necessarily. Matthew, the Almighty God has the final word in respect to how long we live. But never forget this. God has placed a lot of our longevity in our hands. So that the man or the woman who take right step to eat properly, treat themselves good, minimize stress, in most cases that person will live longer than the person who doesn't take any step. Conversely, the man or the woman who abuses his or her health most likely will suffer the consequence and die earlier than probably God would have had the person not abused his or her health. When you and I abuse our health, we are stepping on the principle that God laid down, and we are acting irresponsibly, and the Almighty God will see to it that we pay a lot of time withdrawn from us. The person who takes care of his or her body and the person who abuses his or her health in the many forms that we can abuse ourselves, they are not the same in the sight of God. The Almighty God expects that whatever blessing he gives us, we will appreciate it, we will care it, we will cherish it, and thereby we reap more benefit. The Almighty God also have the converse law, that where he gives you blessing and you abuse it, you don't appreciate it, you squander it, you pay the penalty. So the Almighty God does not necessarily, remember I told you, whether I live to be 60, 70, 80, 90, whatever, the final word is in God's hand. But the Almighty God has placed a lot of it in my hands and in your hands. Time. Use time. When the Bible says redeem the time, for the days are evil, the word redeem means to buy up, utilize. We have just entered 2018. That's why you hear all the firecrackers there. That's right. We give God thanks that he has kept us alive. But you know what? God wants you to make use of the spiritual privileges that are available in Christ. Because you are going to eternity. Don't ever think that when you die, everything ends there. That's the way it is for the cow and the goat and the pig, yes, but not for you. For human being, we have a resurrection and we have a judgment coming. We are begging you, we are appealing to your intelligence, your common sense, and your conscience. Seek Jesus Christ before it is too late. God has a plan to save you. And if you and I are going to be saved, the only way we can be saved is by God's plan. I close, but I give you a little brother on what I have just said. there are certain religious ways by which you cannot be saved. Brother, I'm a kind man. I always like to give brother. For this reason, the Apostle Paul said of the Jews that he bear them record that they have a zeal of God. Mr. Mitchell, what does that mean? They want to serve God. But he said, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, what does that mean, Mr. Mitchell? That is telling us God has a specific way revealing the Bible in making you and I righteous. That's what Paul called the righteousness of God. God has a specific way. And until you and I learn it and submit to it, we will go to church from now until thy kingdom come and end up being lost in the eternal hell. So Paul said, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God means God's way of making man righteous. So we beg you, seek Jesus Christ. Though you may not know it now, you need Christ and you need to become a Christian more than you need anything else. It's your most urgent need. If something was said in the lesson tonight that made you want to ask me some question, talk to me further. You can talk to me after we are dismissed in a few minutes. Short of that, you can call here. This is the church's telephone number. We'll be glad to meet with any of you on a one-to-one basis. Just sit down with you, listen to your point. If you need clarification on anything that I've said, if you have question on anything that I've said, just call, we will call back. Just leave your number, short message, and your name. We will get back to you. And we hope to see you in service. We have Bible study Wednesday night, informal. That's right. In our Wednesday night Bible study, you can ask questions. May come in. It is informal. And if you don't get to come Wednesday night, we look forward in seeing you in worship Sunday morning. Sunday morning coming, if God gives us the time. We have a great message which I started this morning, dealing with when and why God abandoned man, give up on man. Great lesson. It concerns both the Christians and the non-Christian. That is for Sunday coming at our 10:30 worship service. Thank you for coming, ending the old year with us, and beginning the new. Thank you.